On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Tall Can Sports, number 128, I think. How's it going, man?
Whew. It's dynamite.
Dynamite! One of these days, you're going to pick that up when you open it.
In my... No, I will not.
Instead, I'll be stuck purchasing a better boom for you that does not feature 99% echoey materials. Mine's great. Not nearly as metallic.
I've taken up a New Year's revolution.
Resolution?
No. Revolution.
In March?
Resolutions April? Are so boring.
What's your revolution?
To do less of what other people tell me.
Is that even fucking possible?
Yes.
To care less of what other people.
Exactly. Okay, done. All right.
Yeah.
I am having a New Year's coup. How about that?
Is it a bloody coup?
Yes.
We're going to get into.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Second round prediction. It's okay. I think people enjoy the before just getting right down to business, right? A little something, something.
Well, because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's about all we do. It's like an afro, right? Nope, mullet. We're business in the. Run yeah. Party in the back.
Afro.
We throw the reverse
with
afro
a big,
up
with there. A big pick in it. You'd look, you, my friend, are a couple months away from that.
Oh, a couple months? Give me 5 weeks.
You got a young Michael Jackson going for here right now. It's great.
Yes. When we launch our Patreon page, you'll be able to financially contribute to Matt growing an afro that his headphones won't fit.
I think he's probably willing to rent out space on it. You can shave in. Enough money, you'll shave whatever you want into the side of Matt's fro.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay, wait for it.
It's going to curl right over you. It's a terrible investment. But
we're still talking about the fro, right?
Could talk about a lot of things here, Matt.
Exactly. Curling right over my belt.
That's what I was going to say, too. It's less of a curl and more of a droop.
Sag.
First impressions on the first round. We'll do a couple minutes on this before we get into our second round predictions. I think I saw 13 overtime games.
17.
Okay. Insanity. Five of them come in the six-game Maple Leaf Capitals series.
Four in the six-game Sens Bruins.
Right. So Ontario has contributed over 50% of those.
That's a record-breaking 17 in the first round.
I think it would be difficult to suggest, even though I don't think anyone thought it was outrageous that Nashville could beat Chicago. I don't think anyone picked it to be as lopsided as it was.
Right. And you know what? I don't think we want to go back through all the picks.
No.
If I could take a mulligan, it's not on the Chicago pick. To me, it's on the St. Louis, Minnesota. I did all kinds of prep and legwork on that, and everything pointed towards St. Louis.
Right.
And I went, oh, no, you know, Minnesota was so good for the first 60 games, blah. And I still went with it. I think I changed my pick during the show. So really, that's the only one I'd do a mulligan on. Chicago, I think maybe they were just ripe.
Well, yeah, and they do this, right? They turn it over so often that it's not always going to work. But after 2010, when they won the Cup, it drops back a little in 2011, 2012, when they rebuild, right? 2013, back in there, and then you have to drop back a little bit, right? And then they come at it again in 2015. So, you know, maybe this is just one of those years. It's not like they won it last year. But
yeah.
When you have to keep pitching away pieces to fit, and they found some more. We've talked about that numerous times over the course of the season, is how they keep plugging in these new pieces around their core. Maybe this just wasn't the right fit, right?
And yeah, well, Panarin and the like, right, in terms of stuff that's found.
Well, like, you wouldn't be shocked at all if Chicago won the Cup next year. Like, maybe those guys just needed a lot of those guys playing in the World Cup, right? And
which reminds me, hey, you guys, World Championships in Paris.
How do you not want to go to that?
Well, this is it. How's your wife not want to go to that? Which is the lure, right?
How's your wife and my kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Today was Leaf Locker Cleanout Day, and they were talking about who is and isn't going. It seems like one of the more attractive. Like, I want to go do that before I want Bratislava or God knows.
For sure. And I think that is, they realize that, right?
Yeah.
That it's a huge lure for guys who are like,
Well, even if you're in the other pool, it's Cologne, right? Like, it'd be a pretty cool place to to visit, right?
Yeah.
So this is one of those years where it's probably worth it to. Morgan Riley flat out said, well, they haven't invited me yet, but if they did, I'd say yes, right? So Morgan, maybe fishing a little.
Morgan, you stay home.
You've done enough.
There's a reason why you haven't been invited.
That's harsh, man. But yes, yeah. I'd also be okay if Morgan stayed home, to be honest with you.
There you go.
Probably for different reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Same reasons I'm happy Zaitsev and Matthews said no. So, to me, Nashville is the big one. Toronto, I said, would lose in six. I didn't think it would be as close as it was.
True, you did say that. I said Washington in five.
Yeah, see five out of six games go to overtime. There's a lot of people who want to say, see, look how close, but you can also flip the coin and go, it means you could have been swept, right? Like,
yeah,
to be honest with you, and when they're that close, a couple bounces.
And I think, I'm not sure if it was on air, I'm not sure, but I sort of, my opinion on that whole series and the Leafs, ability to win changed by the end of game two regulation.
Yeah, they were playing them hard.
Right, I thought, okay, you know, game one, it's a bit of a, you know, ramp up or amp up game for the young Leafs. And,
yep.
and you go, man, by the end of game two, and both in Washington, you're like,
yep.
Okay, well.
I think I took Boston in six.
Yep.
I have a hard time. The point that you kept making in our preview of round one was the injuries to Boston. I don't know how much of a factor that was. Ottawa was a better team, but I thought McAvoy was at least as good as I expected him to be.
Far cry from my goal of game.
Right.
Against.
Yeah. I thought, to me, Krejci looked like.
Well, he ended up missing three of the six games, right?
And when he played, it was a shell of himself kind of thing, right? So, that's a huge piece to be missing, as was some of the rest of it. But
Krug. I think Krug is the biggest piece because their power play did not do anything, right? Well, to me, that series went as I thought it would.
It was pretty tight, too, right? Four overtime games, as you point out.
Well, and the other two were one-goal games.
Right. So,
but that's how all four regular season games went. All four were decided by one. That's it.
The system.
Right.
I don't think if you took Columbus, go fuck yourself. You don't know what you were talking about in that series. Pittsburgh made.
You write for an American paper if you did.
Yeah, exactly. Pittsburgh made basically a joke out of that. And to me, Columbus had a good two-thirds of a season, was pretty mediocre down the stretch.
See Minnesota.
Right. And I think John Tortorella's hopes that the Jack Adams went pretty much with his team being cleaned out there in a real hurry.
With his hairline?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You didn't.
I took Calgary. They got smashed.
Oh, boy.
That was not close. Anaheim.
That's what they call a sweep.
Anaheim showing that they still, despite kind of the stutters along the regular season, that's what an experienced team can do in the playoffs, right? Just step up and go, yep, it's time to get it going, and here we go.
And you know what? And they did that without Fowler,
yep,
and most of it without Vatanen.
That's right. They're saying, and we'll get into it, but Vatanen looks...
Both have practiced.
Yeah, both looking practiced probable.
Yep.
So be big for them going in against Edmonton. And that's the last one here I think we have to touch on is Edmonton and San Jose. I think we both took Edmonton.
I had Edmonton in five.
Interesting, like at points in that series, looked like the Sharks were ready to take it over, right? Especially when that first game, Edmonton comes out running and gunning, happy to be, you know, starting at home, 2-0 after the first period.
And it was late, and I was like, okay, I got to go to bed, 2-0. And Edmonton just running them out of the barn.
Right. And they step back out in the second period, and all that experience, all those vets just kind of went, nope, we're all right. And yeah, off they went. And
okay, kid.
Yeah, and took game one, and you kind of go, I wonder. And
yeah, well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
There was stretches where you went,
And there was, I don't remember where it was, game four, maybe, where they ran them out 7-0.
And you know what? Well, just before we move on to the stuff that matters, right, the teams who are still playing.
Yeah.
Looking at, so Joe Thornton playing on a torn MCL and a torn ACL.
Seems difficult.
Okay. And so this is a guy who they said, you know, if you look back, Boston GM Mike O'Connell at the time trades away Thornton because he doesn't have a lot of character. And do you remember who they got for him?
Marco Sturm was part of that deal.
Yes.
Scott Thornton?
No.
Oh. I don't remember the rest. I know Marco Sturm was supposed to be the big off forward piece.
Wayne Primo.
Okay.
And it actually,
so still part of that Boston fourth line.
Yeah, and it escapes me, okay, actually. But they were like, and looking
it
back.
It was a defenseman.
Brad Stewart,
okay.
Looking back at the article today, it says, and Sharks trade away the bulk of their young core.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, that's crap. Yeah, so, yeah. It just to me that you go, man.
Yeah.
But he's got no character.
Well, the interesting thing, and I don't want to get bogged down on it, is the in Leafs Twitter land.
Oh, boy.
No, I know. But yep, there's a bunch of talk that for 2 years, would you take Joe Thornton? Because they've said they don't want to move Nylander to the wing. Would you? And there's like 60% Leaf fans going, I really think we'd be better to keep Brian Boyle. You're like,
what?
For 2 years? Yeah. I don't know what it's going to cost, but that runs out when you have to give all those kids a raise.
Right, because Marlowe and Thornton are UFAs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't actually expect that's where he's going to end up.
No.
But you go, that would be an ideal fit if you could get him to come for 2 years, man, and you're just balking out in favor of Brian Boyle, who I like, but come on.
Yeah. No.
So.
No. Get the hell out of here with that talk.
Twitter's fun.
Yep. For retards.
Anything. At Captain Blowhard on Twitter if you want to follow him.
Yes. Very active.
Anything else from round one that caught your eye that you thought was interesting?
No. As I said, I think I touched on them both. The biggest things were the Blues and the Leafs.
Yeah.
To me, those were the two.
To me, the other one is maybe I kind of brushed over it because Columbus is fucking terrible. Marc-Andre Fleury kind of making a case to reestablish himself here a little bit, and he has the power to force them before the expansion draft to shoo his competition out the door. He's got the no move. They have to protect him if he doesn't want to go anywhere, and he's playing pretty well, right? And he's good friends with Sid, right? He's been around forever.
Yeah.
That's going to be really interesting to me. The only option Pittsburgh has if they want to keep Murray would be to buy out.
Well, and you say that, and I think people overlook that. I was downtown. I was at the Rideau Center in the Root store, and the girl was saying, oh, you just missed Sidney Crosby and Marc-Andre Fleury were in here.
It matters.
Yeah, so they were together, and then we were at a bar, and she said, oh, last night Phil Kessel, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Sidney Crosby were here.
Not a boy, Phil, getting in with the cool kids.
Okay, so clearly, as you say.
Yeah. Oh, they're buddies, right? And so it won't just be what Fleury wants. It might be what Sid wants, too, right? So that's an interesting thing, and he absolutely controls that unless they're prepared to buy him out.
Well, check back in 10 days. Because I think what happens here goes a long way in this round.
Yeah.
Goes a long way to determine that. Are we going to see 2009 Fleury?
Yeah.
Are we going to see the guy who flames out a bit?
Well, we'll get a little more into this when we get to the series, but I do wonder, have you heard, just because I didn't do the fucking...
Yeah, Murray's not back.
He's not coming back.
It's Fleury. Well, okay. He's not back right now.
Right, okay. Why don't we start in the Pacific? It'll be the Ducks versus the Oilers. The Oilers don't have the same record of ineptitude in Anaheim that the Flames fucking had.
Right.
Which, at some point, I would have expected just becomes a number, right? It's a weird coincidence. But how long can it be?
Well, 27, 29 games now, right? Whatever it is now, that's obscene.
You got to get a win there, man, because it's not like...
When you're in the same division.
Right. Everyone has fun when it's like, oh, Toronto hasn't won in whatever, San Jose since 2009. You go... Okay, it's been six games, right? Which is still bad, and that's
because for a while there, when there was no interconference play,
and there would be years you didn't even go there.
That's right, and that's what they were saying there, because they said Ottawa has been, it's been 8 years since Ottawa's won in Vancouver.
Right.
Oh, they've played three times.
Right. So,
okay, take that stat.
You enjoy
and shove
the sensationalist headline, but that's really all there is to it. This is in your fucking division. The Oilers don't have that.
Hello, doormat.
Right. Talbot, very, very good in round one. McDavid, I don't think most people are looking at the Oilers moving. If you just said the Oilers are only going to get...
Is Cassian going to outscore him?
Yeah, out of McDavid. Are they moving on? And somehow they did it. Maybe it was two goals and an assist. I can't remember. It wasn't much.
It was the one goal, yeah.
Okay. You know what? They were full value, obviously got it done. People were railing against David Desharnais' acquisition, and he ends up getting a couple of pretty big...
Yeah.
Goals for them. To me, I took the Oilers in round one. I enjoyed the ride. They're a fun team to watch. I think the party's probably over here.
We'll see, because I
when
look
I
at...
talk to you, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're in a roll.
I was just going to say, when I talked to you a day or two ago, I believe I said I would take the Oilers in a long one. I can't remember, but the more I think about it, I think I'm taking the Ducks. I think Getzlaff and Kessler against...
Yeah, it's really to me, you're looking at Kessler being matched up against
and
McDavid.
He's just a dick, right? In the way that you want a guy on.
And he's great at that.
Yeah. And Oiler fans, and they're not wrong, are saying, well, sure, if he can keep up with McDavid, he doesn't have to. Because it's not really during the play that he bugs you. It's in all those scrums right afterwards, post every whistle, when he is in your fucking jersey with you. He's not a fun guy to play.
See, to me, I think I'm giving the way things are going right now, and it's hard to say because Calgary was, blighted with bad goaltending. And so I think Anaheim, it was still fairly close in that series.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it was a sweep, but there wasn't a lot of – and so to me, it's going to come down to Gibson versus Talbot, what happens there, and the health of the aforementioned – right? What does Anaheim's D look like?
Yeah.
Right? Now, they love Theodore and what he did there, right? Big first round for him. He's
Josh
looking
Manson's
good.
Come along pretty well. He seems to be contributing for them.
So to me, and if they can get one or two of Vatten and...
Fowler.
And Fowler back.
Yeah.
To me, I don't see Anaheim losing to Edmonton in round two.
You got it as a long one, or...?
Six.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of in that same neighborhood. I can't decide between six and seven. We'll just take six because it's whatever.
Well,
but
and I just like
it, I won't be shocked if Edmonton pulls it out, but I just think Anaheim is better. And as you point out, as long as the goaltending is there, I just think they're deeper. And that's just a playoff team, right, that knows when to kick it into gear. And how many times do you want to line up beside Corey Perry and keep eating that fucking elbow, right? And Getzlaff hacking away in the face-off circle and Kessler and what he does.
And I just don't see them succumbing to any kind of – and I was surprised, really, to be honest with you. I hadn't seen a lot of Oilers games.
No.
I was surprised a little bit by their physicality.
Yeah, well, and especially when you start looking at some of the guys up and down the roster, obviously there's Lucic and Maroon, but on the defense core, right, there was some pieces there that you just don't know a ton about. And Larson, for all the shit I've given over the last year in terms of what you gave up to get him, came as full value, right? And what's his name, Benning? Or
Benning and Greiba, I think, were the ones flipping in and out in that sort of third pairing.
Right. And Darnell Nurse, once he got healthy, right, he was very physical. It's a
Sakara, Klefbom.
Klefbom, yeah, also had battled some injuries over the last year or two. So they were more, they stood up to what the Sharks had better than I expected.
Well, I think they gave better than they got.
Yeah. So
right. So I was surprised by that, but I think you're looking at a Shark team that was damaged in terms of whether it's Couture,
damaged
Thornton, yep. Right? And those are the ones we know about, right?
Recap, yeah.
Right. And so to me, I'm just not sure they're going to be as lucky coming against a well-rested Ducks team.
Would you go as far, despite where we both picked, would you say you're rooting for Edmonton?
Yeah, to me, I am. I like that they're a very interesting, they play a great style of hockey.
This is fun to watch.
For sure it is.
And I don't know that I'm necessarily, I'm not
loving the orange, all that orange.
Yeah. But I'm not.
It's like a washed out Flames.
I don't know that I'm rooting for Edmonton as much as I'm rooting for that brand of hockey, if that makes any sense. It's just fun, right?
Well, it's fast, and they hit, and there's a bunch of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
To me, it is entertaining to watch.
For sure.
Now, can you play it 2 hours earlier? Oh, it's late.
Yeah, I got shit to do. No, I don't.
Okay.
Let's move just a little east. Go to Nashville.
Well, and you brought up a very interesting point.
I do that.
Yeah. When you said,
usually I read it
somewhere else. How is it possible
right.
that St. Louis could be involved in the least interesting series in round one and quite possibly involved in the least entertaining series or interesting series of round two?
I think it's you, St. Louis.
At that point, you go,
It might be me.
It is you. If you look around, you don't know who the dick in the room is. It's probably you.
Right.
We don't know anything about that.
The dick in the room. Show title.
Yes.
Oh, there's a dick in the room.
If you don't know.
Yeah. Kudos to me. T-shirts will be sold at tallcanaudio.com
honestly,
very shortly.
Kudos to me. Exclamation point with a little TCS logo underneath.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
I got no reason to jump off the Nashville bandwagon. I think Rinne has his ups and downs, but I think he's going to be able to.
Does Pecorine? Does that sound like an Italian
Pekka
cheese to you?
In the room.
Small Pecker?
A little bit.
Okay.
He had to battle. No. What's his name? Jake Allen had to out-duel Devan Dubnyk in round one and did it fairly easily.
That's a duel.
I thought, to try and save a little bit of face, that was the Dubnyk I expected to see all season long.
That's the Dubnyk right there. I don't want to get fucking Dubnyked out here.
Had a save percentage of 904 and a goals against of over 3. That was the guy I expected to see all season long. Meanwhile, he spent most of the season flirting with the Vezina and whatever. The way they fell off late, that won't be happening. Bruce Boudreau also maybe the most likable coach in the NHL.
And to me, we didn't talk about. We were talking regular season when we talked about it, and I said they'd be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
But there is playoff Boudreau.
Yeah.
And man,
for whatever reason.
And you know what? When you go from Washington and you go to Anaheim and you leave this little stinky trail behind you, and then you roll in and you dominate for
a stinky trail of division championships.
All right. And we've talked about this ad nauseum, both on the show and off the show, and go, do you want to have 7 division championships in 10 years but no cups?
Right.
Or would you rather have no division championships and 1 cup in 10 years?
Right.
I'm taking the cup.
Yep, for sure.
And so, yeah, I get it. Especially if you're in a non-conventional, and Washington certainly is
as is Anaheim.
It's an established hockey market. But it's not an original six. It's not a Canadian one. It's sort of that
part of
second
NBC's
tier.
NBC's original six.
Yeah. And then you move out to Anaheim, and for sure, they're just dying for winning hockey, right?
Yeah.
But not dying, because they'd already won a cup, and they'd already done a bunch of things, right?
Sure.
But I'm just saying, in terms of getting a foothold in California, you got to continue to do something, yeah. right? And winning does that.
Bobby Hill.
Yeah. So, bam.
So he comes into Minnesota, struggles again, and that question will continue to plague them.
Haunt him.
Yeah.
Because again, after a while, you got to go, fuck.
Might be you, man.
Is this me? What was that? What is not translating from regular season to playoffs? And obviously, it's the nipple clamps. Yep. Either put them on or take them off. Whatever's happening here, something's got to go on.
So that leaves Jake Allen versus Pekka Rinne. To me, both very good when they're good. But it's a little unpredictable, especially the last year or two for Pekka Rinne. It's been really up and down. But I'm willing to bet on him over Jake Allen, I think, at this point. And that Nashville team, they've showed a lot of speed. Their defense core up on the first pair, when you have Josi playing with Ellis, who all of a sudden looks like some kind of fucking mountain man. That's kind of weird. And
because he was that, as a junior, he was that fresh-faced
baby
kid.
Baby-faced.
Yeah, looked like he was going to be young forever.
Seriously. And then on the second pair, you got Ekholm and Subban. That's a mobile defense that I'm not sure St. Louis, especially with the way they've turned things over, you used to think of them as a really heavy forechecking team, and they're not that now. And I just think that defense that Nashville's got is so mobile and is so good at moving the puck out that it's going to be really tough for St. Louis. I'm going to take Nashville here, and I think I'm going to take them in probably five.
Well, and you look, man, Mike Fisher plays on their fourth line. Like, and he is, but to me, he's a playoff guy, right? What he does.
Absolutely.
Forechecks, along the boards, all those sorts of things.
Slightly different, but in the vein of a Ryan Kessler, right?
That is your fourth line center.
Yeah.
Man. Because to me, traditionally, you give, I give the nod to Pekka Rinne, right? Allen's hot right now, but you can't overlook the fact that Allen was sent home at one point this year.
Yeah. Like, not to the minors, just stay home. Please don't come with us on this road trip.
And so when you look at the Blues, and we went through this, right, with J-Bo, Petrangelo, Parayko, right? To me.
Real good.
Yeah.
Well, then you bring in Vladimir Sobotka at the very end of the season, and all of a sudden, I mean, say what you want about him being a KHL guy, whatever, that's a second-line guy, right?
Like, yeah. And so, but to me, if you look at D out and Allen's hot right now, and then as you just went through the top four for
Preds, yeah.
Yeah, I just, to me.
Well, I really like Petrangelo. Like, that might be, I know he doesn't put up the same numbers as your Hedmans and your Carlsons and your whatever. Man, really, really solid defenseman that, I don't know, but we didn't talk about this. Is that a top five NHL defenseman for you?
Who, Petrangelo?
Yeah. This is great radio.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Okay. Top 10?
Yes.
Yeah. But the least talked about top 10 probably defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah. Right? Well, see, it's you had radio silence over here, right? As I'm sitting here with my mouth open, right? But that's my thinking look. Yeah, you know, and so you start to run through. Just if you look at the guys, you go Doughty,
right?
Weber,
yeah.
Carlson, Burns, Hedman.
I got Petrangelo ahead of Weber, but
okay, you got him ahead of Keith.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe not, right?
You got him ahead of Subban.
Right now, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
So he's right around.
You got
that.
You got him ahead of. Of Roman Josi. You got him ahead of what's his name? What's his name in Phoenix?
Ekman-Larsson.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah, and now you get into a bunch of guys you don't see all that often.
Okay, but
right?
We are looking at that nice chunky 6 through
that's
15, right?
To me,
I think you're talking
about Carlson, clearly behind Hedman, clearly behind
Doughty
and Burns. So now you're talking about that fifth spot, and you could debate that all day, right? But to me, he's in that conversation. I will not debate it all day. I have shit to do.
You can't force me into that. But he's good.
Sports 128 will be the fifth best defenseman in the NHL debate.
Okay. But
it's going to be great.
Hey, everybody out there, you got an opinion on that?
Hit it. At Talkan Sports.
Throw us in, and we're really more interested in that 5 through 10.
Yeah.
And if you want to debate, whether, you know, Adam Larson should be in that top five.
Easy.
Looking right at you, Kozak. I'm also taking Nashville.
In?
Six.
Okay. So this is kind of where the, you know, you don't get to play Bruce Boudreau's team anymore, and maybe you run into a real... This could be an interesting one, because I think, and we'll get to this when we get to the third round, I think Nashville's taking down Anaheim. So
hey,
this...
Hey, so what do you have, and I'm going to put you in the spot right now, beyond... Johansson, Forsberg, and Fisher. How many other Predators forwards can you come up with?
Arvidsson.
Yeah, Neil. There you go. Neil.
Yep.
Look at you.
Who's down on the third? Yeah, I might be done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bunch of other guys nobody cares about, but I'm just saying.
The defense moves things along pretty well. And I don't know, if I wanted a little more radio silence, maybe I get one, two more names, but that's about it.
You're forgetting about your favorite PA Parenteau.
Yeah.
Of course I am.
Leaf All-Star. Brian Real Hard.
Infinitely forgettable.
But yeah, that team is all about a great goaltender, a killer defense, and a couple game breakers up front, and then just some guys, right? Like, that's about it. Like,
there's a bunch of, you know what, I'm not even going to go over it. There's a bunch of guys in here I've never even heard of before. And I'm looking at it.
Arvidsson was a sweet craft, right?
Of course it is. And he plays in the top line.
Yeah.
Right? That's a great line of Arvidsson, Johansson, and Forsberg.
Right.
Right? But, yeah.
Halliburton's own James Neal still kicking around there.
So. Okay. Well, like I said, that also, he's sort of forgettable.
Yes. It's true.
Yeah, let's not get ahead. Don't get all crazy and start. Yeah, okay, it's my beer. Sorry about that. Powered by Smithwick's today, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're all likely interested.
Bacardi over here. Not a tall can of anything. So we move east into, I think we'll start in the metro here.
Into probably what's more entertaining and everyone else is more interested in.
Well, don't you think this has the potential to be the series of the playoffs?
You're talking about the
Pittsburgh
Pens Capitals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really what it's must see, and it goes against head to head time wise. At least game one does with the Senators game, which is a bummer.
Why do they fucking do that? Like, would it not always make
behoove
more sense
to
an east and a west, and then an east and a fucking west?
And honestly, we're sitting here bitching about it, but it comes down to arena availability and whatever else.
That comes down.
Like, where are the Dixie Chicks? Who knows?
Gary's. The fucking NBC cock is about what he's really looking at. And so I don't particularly care about the head-to-head matchup there that you're talking about.
The tiny perfect commissioner.
Right. The count.
Three
fucking lockouts.
East. West.
So to me, I think Pens Caps certainly is the marquee matchup that most people want to see. I think it's coming around too early, and that goes back to their ridiculous fucking... Now, even in a perfect divisional setup, this is probably when you see it, but if you're someone who wants to see the best matchups happening later and later, then this is around too early.
Not for me.
Because you're counting on seeing a Sens Pens?
No. I'm counting on the Caps getting knocked out in round two. That's what I'm hoping for.
This probably should have come up earlier. When the Leafs scored in game three, I guess it would have been in overtime to go up 2-1, I get a text from you that says, oh, fuck yeah. Is that a hey, fuck Ovi, I might be back in blue here just a little bit?
No.
No?
Well, you know what?
Just a little bit?
I don't call it back in blue. I certainly call it, yeah, fuck you, Ovi.
Okay. All right. So for a moment, we were aligned on...
Well, and the thing is, yeah.
He sucks too, eh?
Is I hate the brand.
The Leafs.
The Leaf brand.
Yeah.
Right? Is really what it is. And I hate all those drones out in Maple Leaf Square doing their jumping up and down like they're at a Blink 182 concert or whatever's going on there.
All the...
Leafs suck.
Nice. See, my clever line came a line later, and I got beat to it. got to get right to it. If you're gonna...
It's the kind of crowd this is.
Yeah, okay.
But it's, you can't deny where the team is going.
Sure.
Right? So, to me...
Before that moment, we were united, one in backing blue, one in fucking Ovechkin.
Right.
Right.
For sure.
All right.
For sure. And really, I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what my distaste is. And I think it goes back, and we've talked about it many times, him at the 03 World Juniors in Halifax, jumping, pulling his jersey out, jumping into the glass. And, you know, and you're like, after they beat Canada.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you, bud.
Fuck you, bud.
Yeah.
Because you are a year away from getting Mike Richards.
Yeah.
And Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah. Yeah. The double Dion.
Right.
And so, yeah, to me, there's something about that guy forever, right? And he's a little too, he started his career as me, you know, more of that. It's all about.
Well, what I saw.
But without this, a great deal of playoff success.
Well, what I saw in this last series, and it obviously goes farther back than that, is a guy who doesn't quite have the speed. He's still super smart in terms of, okay, that's the guy you've chosen to put against me. I'm going to get some hits on him early, right? If he's going to give it to me, I'm going to give it back. And he's still capable of doing that. But his, over the last 3 years, his 5-on-5 numbers keep going down and down and down. And when you play that style, we talk about it a lot with Canadians, right? Guys that, like Mike Richards, quite frankly, right? When you put that kind of hard miles on early, hard to keep going. And he's just not that quick anymore. And he's a power play guy now. And
game one against the Leafs, and when it went to overtime, or
yep,
right, and the stat came up, 25 overtime playoff games,
yeah,
without a goal.
Right.
And that certainly extended at least 4 or 5 more.
Yep.
That's fascinating. And I sent you a text, I think, saying, you think the same can be said for Sid?
Seems unlikely, doesn't it?
Seems. And I haven't done any...
Right.
But that's why when they talk about, you know, somebody was saying to me the other day, why is it always about Sid versus Ovi? Who cares? And you're like, the two will forever be connected. They were in the same.
Well, they weren't in the same draft year, but
they were
of that,
this, they were
lockout,
they were in the same, they were rookies
year.
At the same year.
That's right,
and
yes.
Ovechkin was rookie of the year.
Yep. More goals.
Right. Yep. All those things, right, that they will forever be.
Oh, they're going to be linked.
Connected.
Yeah.
Right. And at every turn.
And that conversation is over.
Oh, it's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Two cups for Sid. Two Olympic golds for Sid.
Head to head.
Not even close.
8-1 career between Washington and Pittsburgh is the playoff series record.
Yeah. So that's done. And as soon as... And maybe it's more a media thing. Maybe it's more a fan thing. Maybe Ovechkin doesn't think about it. But
of course he does.
But as soon as you can get that out of your head and go, I might be the second best player of this era, you could live a happy existence. But stop trying to pretend that this is still close.
Well, because right? Like, nobody who's driven like he's driven, no matter how soft you think he is or he's playing for Olympics
sure.
and
yeah,
world
yeah.
championships.
Yeah.
Man, you gotta. It sucks. That guy eats my lunch all the time. We're connected. He's got two cups.
Yeah.
I got none. I haven't even been to a conference final.
Right.
Yeah, so to me, those are, yeah, that is, it's intriguing to see them go head to head.
Is this, in your opinion then, this has to be, and I'll be right up front, I'm picking Pittsburgh. This has to be Washington's best chance of any time that they've done this, right? That this matchup, this is... They've gone out and they've picked up Shattenkirk, and they've gone out and they have Oshie now to try and add a little something.
And you look at their lineup.
And Justin Williams, who's been clutch all the way through his career and was again scoring big goals against the Leafs. I mean, whatever you think of that, right?
You talked about Shattenkirk, right? And you'd said a couple shows ago, man, I'd love to see that guy as a Leaf, right? You bring him in now, you know, you get that 2-year window and you got to make it happen.
Yep.
I see Alzner's still out.
Yep.
Right? And I see that Washington is running with Orpik and Shattenkirk as their 5 and 6.
Yeah, and that was ugly.
Right?
Ugly.
And so...
Because what else did I say to you during that series? A text message that, whew, man, no longer interested in the Shat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow, it's an unfortunate nickname. The Shat.
Right. But he just, in his own end, is a disaster.
See, the thing is, and to me... is they were, like, the Leafs outshot them.
Yep.
And it, to me, the Leafs beat them in faceoffs.
Yep.
I think you're now, they were obviously, the Leafs were faster than I think Washington was prepared for.
Right.
And I think Pittsburgh is going to bring a bit of that same, only I think with a little bit more high caliber finish.
Right. And they will, Pittsburgh's defense will be better than Toronto's, but not as good as it could be with the pieces that they're missing.
Without Letang, especially. But if you look at, they're still going with Cole, Schultz, Mata, and Trevor Daly. That's your top four.
It's not bad.
It's not great.
Right, but it's not bad. Right.
But that to me is better than what the top four Leafs were bringing.
Yep. Yeah, it was. And sorry, go on.
No. So to me, I got to think, and the way Fleury's playing, Anderson played pretty well, but I'm just looking at the whole thing going, if the Pens are going to bring it, they have a little more top end. They have more depth, I think, than Toronto does up front. Yep.
And there's that built-in mind fuck that already exists, right? That every time we see you, you beat the shit out of us. And that's a tough thing to overcome. People don't like to give it enough. But in sport, you can plant that seed long before game one, right? And sometimes you planted it a year ago, right? That just said, you're not beating us. And
so who are you putting your checking line out against? The Crosby line or the Malkin line?
Yeah, and it's interesting because even a year ago, you would have had to throw the Bonino line into that. And that seems to be less of a factor as some guys have been in. I don't think Haglund's back yet.
He's not. They're projecting Scott Wilson. I don't know who that guy
household
is.
Name.
Yes. Nick Bonino and
Hornqvist. The top of his head over the fence line. That's about all. Giving great advice.
Yes. So, but to me, yeah, I like – and they got Matt Cullen as their four center.
Yeah.
Right. To me, that's a nice setup.
So you don't think Washington is getting this done?
No, I don't. And I look at...
Do you think it's close?
I'm going to go with my generic six.
I'm taking Pittsburgh in five.
Yeah, no. To me, I look at the way Pittsburgh's power play was clicking.
Yeah.
Like, they talked about Washington scored slightly more goals than Pittsburgh did in round one.
Yeah.
But they did it in one more game.
Right.
And Malkin... 11 points, right? I think Kessel had 9 points.
Right.
Crosby has 7 or 8.
Well, and that's the thing that you look at, right? And you go, well, they're now only a two-line team. When last year they were a two-line team, you go, yeah, but that two lines now sees Phil with Malkin, right? Like, do you want to defend that?
Yeah,
good luck to you.
Yeah. No, to me, and the power play percentage, in round one, Pittsburgh's power play was 5 for 15, I think.
Yeah, to me, you know... Washington, a couple of points showed, and to me the most, I watched the game in full because, as you know, I was on a flight for most of game six, didn't get to see Toronto and Washington. I watched most of it the next morning, and it was when Matthews scored, you could see Washington go, okay, that's it, enough, right? We're the better team. We are the President's Trophy winners. We're the more experienced team, and they took it over. Right after Matthews scored, that was it for Toronto. I think they had like two shots on goal through the rest of the third and overtime. And they just decided it's time to be what we're supposed to be. But now you go against a team who feels the exact same way, right? That we are the best team in the East.
Good for you and your President's Trophy.
Right. We don't give a fuck.
Right.
Good for us and our Stanley Cup.
And to me, I think...
Kudos to me.
Oh, kudos to me. I think Holtby is going to continue to provide... good and above average goaltending.
Yeah.
Right? To me, the only X factor in this is can Fleury
right.
do what he did in round one?
And I assume he can.
Because Columbus outshot Pittsburgh, dude.
Yeah. So I got Pens in five.
Okay. That's nice.
That's nice.
I like.
That's nice.
Yeah, so I got him in six just because I think, yeah.
Okay. We move over to the last one, Senators and Rangers, in that, you know, traditional setup where a guy from another division crosses over and beats your division champ.
Has a chance to be, does not have home ice. See, because to me, yeah, well, and you know what? 4 points separated these two teams.
Right.
So it's not like...
No, but at some point, it just gets stupider and stupider.
Well, that's right? So does that mean that...
Can you at least reseed? Like, I beat your division champ. Can I be at home? No. All right.
Well, no, because you come in as the 4 seed.
I guess.
You're a wild card, douche.
And so Toronto crossed over and was 4 seed. And the other, to me, if everybody, we've talked about it, whatever, 4 make it on one side and 4 make it on the other, just stay in your fucking division, right?
Like, right. Once you've established that and you go, hey.
It's got to be more like the CFL. If someone is better than your fourth place team, then they come over and bump it. Otherwise, just stop it.
Well, but they do that.
No, they don't.
Well, the Islanders weren't good enough to bump the Leafs out.
If they had been, then they would have been. All I'm saying is the wild card should only come into play if there's more than 4 from one division.
Wild card should only come into play if the Islanders were better than the Leafs.
That's right. Otherwise, everyone stays in their division.
Hey, get fucked. Just like that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Sens and
Rangers.
I believe I took the Rangers to beat the Habs.
Yes, and I took the Habs.
Yeah. Foolish.
Yep. True.
Never bet on the fucking French.
Yeah, honestly. Ha-ha, wee-wee.
So I'm going to go ahead and Lundqvist is better than Anderson, but to me, the Ottawa depth up front far exceeds what the Rangers are bringing, and I like them. I like their depth too. I don't think they have the same type of guys that Ottawa has. Like I don't think Kreider is Hoffman, right, in terms of game breaking ability. And I know that's a weird place to start, but you know, Mark Stone to me is better than
Stone. Not healthy though.
Yeah.
And if it's a leg issue or whatever's bothering him and we're not really sure what it is.
Yeah.
Man, he scored a goal in game 5 or 6 and it was the first one in.
Well, wouldn't they say Carlson's got a fracture in both feet or something? Yeah, or two, no, fractures
two,
in one.
Two hairline fractures in his one heel.
That seems like it would hurt.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, he suffered that 3 games left in the regular season. Like he played that whole series like that.
Right. And it's weird to me that they would announce that.
And this
right?
just like, in. Well, no, they didn't announce it. He announced it.
Well, that's weird.
One of the Boston reporters is like, look, I'm tired of answering the question. Yeah, I got a couple of hairline fractures in my heel. Well, what are they going to do, target him more?
Well, wasn't this after they were already done?
Yeah, but what are you going to do to the heel? Like, I'm interested. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing is going to be
putting
always hear it when you're eliminated, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy had this and is.
But I think the hardest thing there is putting the skate on.
Yeah, okay.
And then skating with it, you're not going to hurt it by hacking it.
You might.
But, yeah, so to me, he announced it.
Okay.
But I think he's confident enough, he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, fuck.
Whatever. That's it. Don't ask me about it again. To me, the two teams, very similar up front in that they don't have a guy.
But they got a lot of guys.
I know, but there's no guy.
No, right. That's it. It's 3 lines deep.
It's no Sid. It's no Ovi. It's no Austin Matthews, even if you want, as in terms of a guy who you go, oh, look at that. We got a key on him or we got to do whatever.
Right. It's Nash versus Hoffman. It's Stone versus Kreider, right? It's Turris versus Zibanejad or whatever you want
to call it. Yeah. And Czech
Zuccarello
is Stepan.
Yeah.
To me, Rick Nash, those are a bunch of guys. Like we went through it before and I can't remember what the stat was. They have a pile of guys between 35 and 55 points.
Well, that's very similar, don't you think?
For sure.
Yeah.
No, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? And then you look at the Rangers on D with McDonough, Staal, Girardi. Like, to me, that's a rock-solid threesome to bring to the party, right? And
you should always come to the party with a rock-solid threesome.
Yeah. Or leave.
Yeah, that's probably better. Yeah.
Lundqvist.
Pretty boy.
To me, he had an outstanding, a 1.7 or something like that.
Yes.
Goals against, a 949 save percentage or whatever it was.
No, ridiculous.
Can you keep that up? Because he had a shite season.
Yep. As a guy who owned him in our fantasy league, I can tell you that's true.
Right. And so listening to some and reading through some New York papers today, they're talking about how Anderson's numbers, which are 930 and a 1.94, pale in comparison. Well, Anderson was good all season. Like, that is what we got. Not 1.94, but
sure.
But he was very consistent all season.
Yeah.
Hey, and they're saying, and you know what? Two of Ottawa went 2-0-1. I believe, in the season series.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And they're saying, yeah, but two of those were against Ranta. Well, two of them were against Ranta because
Lundqvist was sucking the tailpipe.
Exactly, and Ranta was a starter, and Ranta
he was.
And Ranta had
people forget that for like a month and a half,
and he had a good stretch.
Yeah,
where he was doing quite well.
Yeah.
So don't say it's not like we're facing McElhaney or something. You know, it's,
why? Let me think of the worst goalie I can think of and kick dirt on.
But you get what I'm saying, yeah. Right? Like, this guy was a starter on a 100-point team for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Right? So, to me, it does matter, right? That does go into it. So,
who do you got?
I got the Rangers in seven.
I have the Sens in seven.
Okay, look at us. Well, but to me, the Rangers, and in terms of, I don't think Ottawa is going to be able to score enough with a better goalie and a better D than they just saw in the last round.
I agree with that, but I kind of like, you know, especially if Mathot's going to continue to get closer to form, right? And obviously Carlson's going to do it. To me, I look down that Senators lineup, and as you stated, there's no one holy fuck game breaker. But, and I know I keep using these names, but Hoffman's been pretty good, and then Stone, I assume, is going to continue to get healthier, and below that, MacArthur, who I expected to be kind of a passenger after 2 years off, has not been. I don't know. There's just something about the depth.
It is the depth, and the balance through the forward lines for Ottawa is solid. Right?
What's interesting to me, because I didn't have – I think I took Boston in five, maybe six, but I definitely took Boston to beat Ottawa. I look at this matchup and the depth in it, and it's not like I don't like what the Rangers have, but I just think that the depth is enough to chip away,
yeah,
and maybe get it done in seven. Well, I don't – I Rangers, think it's going to be tight all the way.
The Rangers are a faster team than the Bruins.
Yeah.
How and again, I did pick Rangers in seven, and I it's a toss up series.
Yeah,
to me,
it is,
and I sort of want to keep a tight lid on my homerism. You're such a homer. I think the Rangers are going to have a hard time with the way Ottawa plays in terms of points off the rush, because Ottawa clogs the fuck right out of the neutral zone.
The system.
Yeah.
Join the system.
So to me, yeah. And they're, I think they went 1-for-15 on the power play, and the Rangers I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Ottawa had an improved penalty kill, right around 83% in that last round.
Yeah.
And they saw a shit ton of Boston power plays. So to me, that's improved. Their power play is up over 20. I wonder if they're going to be able to score enough.
So last thing on this, as
I hope like hell they do.
Pierre Dorion has come out and said
I wish he'd shut up.
Yeah.
No.
Most people's GM should shut up during the playoffs.
Yes.
As he states, I hope this shouldn't be a referendum on the Broussard versus Zibanejad trade. I wonder how you as a Sens guy feel about that, because to me,
big game brass
in the first round, at least, looked like Zibanejad was pretty good, right?
Well, and
you've watched Broussard all year.
Okay.
I agree, before I let you have the floor here, that 4, 5, 6, 7 games is an unfair way to judge that trade, but it's absolutely what's going to happen. How do you see that?
Broussard third in playoff scoring with 8 points.
Ching, ching.
Big game brass.
Big brass balls.
Yeah. Now, yeah, he was very pedestrian in the regular season. And Zibanejad came out like a house on fire.
But he lives near here.
And then broke his leg.
That's rough.
Right? And so I think Zibanejad was on course to have a kind of a breakout season. Now, I say that, and he's had some 50 to 60 point seasons in Ottawa, but he was looking really good in terms of the way that they play there.
Didn't he score the series-winning goal against Montreal?
Yeah, he had an overtime winner.
So, yeah.
Well, so you and I were someplace, and I'm like, and an unlikely. And I'm like, what do you mean unlikely? Yeah. He missed 25 games and still had 40 points.
Yeah, dude's a shooter, right?
Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
Know your shit, Or shut up.
Carly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Whoever that was. Horrible. Yeah.
Generic large-breasted woman on Sportsnet.
So
I love generic large-breasted woman.
So your question to me is, yeah, is it, if it's going to come down to...
Don't you think there's going to be a certain amount of people who judge that trade based on this series?
For sure it is.
Yeah.
For sure there is.
Yeah.
And I think Senators fans always looked at Zibanejad likely having the higher ceiling moving forward. Now, is he ever going to be a 30-plus goal scorer? I don't think so. But could he be a regular 25-goal scorer from now on? Maybe.
Right.
I don't think Brassard is ever going to come back to 27 goals like he did 2 years ago with the Rangers.
Well, so once you give up the younger guy and assume that he's going to have the brighter future,
right.
Have you not long before the series lost the trade?
Well, see, what's happening there is you are looking at a lower cap hit for longer periods of time with Brassard, and they're looking at – and they kept saying, why not us now? Right? And everyone's like, tee-hee, tee-hee-hee. But man,
it's interesting. You could be looking at a conference final.
This is it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's high bar for this team.
Yeah.
If they can beat the Rangers and lose to the Penguins in the conference final,
yeah,
that's a fucking outstanding season.
Right.
So to me, that is almost like going for it. Because this is not a cup team, but if they were to win this series, and that's why you say that you brought Brassard in for that leadership
and that
big game brass. Then it's done what you wanted to do.
Like, to me, that's the only approach you can take in 2017 National Hockey League with a cap era, whatever. In the seasons where you're clearly done at Christmas, you dump hard and tank and try and get low. And in seasons where you're in a good position to go for it, you go for it. And that's where we're at this point. And the Sens right now, no, I don't think they're beating the Penguins, but I just picked them to beat. In a coin flip series, the Rangers, think of all those extra home dates and what that means to that franchise. And
that's a
huge season.
A conference final is a huge season. Absolutely.
And
so
it's
to me,
completely reasonable, you know, possibility right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this season, like I said, this series is a toss up.
Yep.
Right. And so, I just wonder with the goaltending and the defense that
sure.
But it's going to be low scoring, and it's going to be long, and we'll see. But to me,
you're not selling a lot of tickets.
Okay, yeah, but anybody who knows anything knows that that's Ottawa hockey, right? And so,
brown girl in the system has changed her. We love her, brown girl.
Oh, and she's now brown girl in the system.
Yes.
Okay, look at that.
Everybody in Ottawa rallying around. The system, in air quotes. Right?
Yes. Well, you can see a bunch of people with gray hooded cloaks. I'm in the system, baby, right there.
Also soon to be available at tallcanada.com.
Yes. Faith
just
in the system.
Gray,
faith
the system.
In the system.
Round two. It honestly
Let's
looks
do it.
To be pretty interesting. And you'll be able to, as always, judge our picks based on your own. Let us know at tallcansports on Twitter.
I'm judging if I could hear you and your opinions, I would judge the hell out of you. So feel free to do the same.
Absolutely. Enjoy round two, and we will see you on the next Talk and Sports.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.